Bibles right now to get your Bibles out. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you very much. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards all men. Hello. Now, praise God. I was, when Pastor Charles was preaching Sunday, to me, I don't know if y'all got anything out of it. I got all kinds of good things, maybe just because I wasn't preaching, but just listening, receiving. But it's kind of like the Holy Ghost just jumped out and illuminated to me about being inside the tent. I actually think Pastor Charles could have just gone right there and stopped at that and said, okay, man, amen, just close your Bibles. We're going to stop right there, because it was just, it's such truth that we get trapped in our tents, we get trapped in those places in by looking at our problems, our situations, our surroundings, or whatever, and we're under that tent. We can't really see the promises of God. God has to call us out so we can look up at the stars and we can see His promises to us. And so the Holy Ghost kind of was building this in me, and I just want to share it with y'all here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, kind of going off that flow. We'll start picking up in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, that says a lot right there, okay? First of all, He's the God of all comfort. Can I have an amen? I'm glad He's not the God of torment. He's not the God of wrath. He's not. To us, He's the God of all comfort. Amen? I like comfort. I've never been a person who felt like I was more holy because I suffered. That never crossed my mind. Let's be poor so we can be holy. Well, gosh, and all the world's holy, there's no sense preaching the gospel because most of the world's poor. Hello? And I just never really bit into that. Suffering makes you holy. I mean, if it did, it'd be great and easy, right? Just go suffer. Every morning, just hit your hand and your finger with a hammer and you suffer. It's like if holy water really worked. It'd be great, man. It'd just be great. I'd love it. Just come here. Oh, here. Okay. Everything's okay. God bless. Go on. But it doesn't. There's no trickery to it. But He's the God of all comfort, right? And then it says, who comforts us in our tribulation. Well, there you go, that old nasty word, tribulation, comforts us in our tribulation. If we didn't have any tribulation, we wouldn't have any need to be comforted, right? We don't always like to look at it that way, but He comforts us in our tribulation. But check this out, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. You are the most effective witness. You are the most effective preacher. You're the most effective declarer, prophet, apostle of God when you can tell somebody what God has delivered you from. Because you're not getting it out of your head. You're not getting out of a book. You're not getting it out of anything else. It's your life. It's what you live. It's what you walk through. You're always the most effective. You want to know, well, God, I just want to know, God, just give me a ministry. I want to give ministry. Whatever you've walked through and God's delivered you from, that is your ministry. If there's something in life that you haven't conquered, you need to learn and grow and find somebody that's conquered it and go talk to them and learn. That's what it's all about, right? And you're the most effective when you can preach and tell somebody how God set you free. Okay. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effective and enduring the same sufferings which you also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will be partakers of the consolation. Okay, verse 8. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, which we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. It's a good place sometimes to be. When you just can't figure it out anymore, you say, Lord, I'm just giving up. I'm just going to trust you. And I love this. Verse 9 again, I want to read it. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, who does deliver us, that's present tense, today, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. That's for tomorrow. You always got to remember, God is the God who delivered you in the past. He's going to deliver you today, and he's going to deliver you tomorrow. He's got your past covered. He's got your future taken care of, and he's taking you through today. Amen? If you can't remember anything else tonight, just get that in there. God delivered me from the past. He's taking care of me today, and he's got my future put in place. Amen? That's a good place to be, man. He's delivered me in the past. He set me free, taking care of everything. It's like I can tell my wife. We reminisce sometimes. I was the guy that for years I attempted to keep a journal, a daily journal. And my thought was, is I was going to keep a journal of everything that God had done for us in our life, you know. And I did pretty good for about 3 years. And then something happened and I got off track and I spun out of there and I didn't, you know. But it's fun sometimes to go back and I read where we first started out, our very first walking with Jesus, what I wrote in those journals. Because I had no real revelation of faith or really revelation. I just knew God would deliver me, he'd see me through. He had delivered me in the past. He's going to deliver me today. He's going to deliver me in the future. And so I'd write these things down like, the devil attacked today. Our toilet is stopped up. Believing God for victory, you know. Next day, you know, plumbing's working today. Praise God, miracle happened, you know. You know, as that was what that was in there, you know. And so, but I've always got hold of that scripture real early in life. That bless God, he delivered me from past. If God could forgive me for all my sin, everything that I had done in the past, well, surely today is covered and he's got me in his hand today, and then he must be getting my future prepared for tomorrow. So if he delivered me in the past, he's got me today, and the future is taken care of. Amen? Okay, that's not even the message, but that was just a good preacher. Verse 11, so also, you also helping together and praying for us that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Verse 12. For our boasting in this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. For we are not writing of any other thing that you read or understood. Now, I trust that you will understand even to the end, and you've understood us in part, that our boasting you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm trying to get to a part here. Let me read on. Okay, here we go. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Everybody say yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Everybody say yes. In him, amen. Everybody say amen. To the glory of God through Jesus. Now, when he says yes there, you know, it's a sad state of our world today. We have, let's just take politicians. How many politicians say yes, but they really mean no? How many of them say no, but they really mean yes, right? How many people do we have that, you know, said, oh, yeah, sure, that's no problem, we'll do it, but then they don't. So we live in a society today that when somebody says yes, you don't know if they really mean yes. Right? You question it. Is that yes, like maybe so we're going to get it done, or is that yes, like, you know, to my own hurt, I'll see that it's taken care of. Y'all with me? And so Paul's talking to Timothy, and he said, listen, we preach to you, but the promises of God are yes. The word yes there in the Greek, it means yes in a general sense. But the root of it and what it really means is truth. In other words, when God said yes, it's the truth and it can't be changed. Have you ever said yes when you later wish you'd have said no? But then you had to go ahead and do the yes, right? But when God says yes, he's saying, Paul's saying, look, we didn't come to you and preach that, yeah, the gospel's alive today and Jesus will forgive you today, but, oh, wait, I'm sorry, we missed something. No, that won't really work. He said, the promises of God, if you look back in verse 19, it says, Timothy was not yes and no, but in him, in Jesus, was yes. Everybody say yes. We got to realize that when we entered into Christ, everything in heaven became for us, all the promises that God had made became yes. There isn't a no. I don't care what anybody can say. So, well, but one time I did. Listen, I'm not going to get into arguing and trying to find out the reasons of this and that and the other. I'm just telling you, all the promises, I have to believe what the Bible said are true. Right? Jesus said this, the works that he did, the same works we can do. And greater works than these good because he went to the Father. That's either true or it's not. Well, I don't know. I don't understand. It either is or it isn't. He said, well, I don't see it operate in my life. Well, then something's wrong. He said, oh, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just telling you, it's got to be the answer because the Bible's right. Well, but what about if? I don't know. I don't want to play the what-if game. You know, you never get anywhere when you play the what-if game. All you do is end up second-guessing yourself in life and talking yourself out of the miracle. If he says, in Jesus, all the promises are yes, then I want you to know all of heaven is for you. All the promises are yes. Everything is directed for you. You may not have revelation of it. You may not be walking in it. You may not be applying it to your life. You may be misapplying it to your life. I don't know, but the promises are still yes towards you. And how I know that is, because I know what that word means, and I know that if God said yes, he ain't going to change his mind and say no later. Now, I've taught you for years and years and years. There are conditions to the promises, right? Just like salvation. Salvation is yours. Salvation is yes. Any person can be saved. Yes. Right? But there's a condition to salvation. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. So that's the condition of the promise. You're not going to apply the promise of salvation to your life till you walk in the condition of confessing with your mouth. But the promise is still yes. Okay, so you're on a boat and you're tossed and you're trying to cross the sea and it's pitching and bucking everywhere and it's about to go down. Does God want the sea to be still? Well, you know, I don't know. Sometimes hurricanes are good. They come in and the sea and they bring water and everything. I don't know. You're going to drown. You've already second-guessed yourself. You've already undermined any part of faith. You've already got into your logic trying to reason things out. If I'm on a boat and it's been, looks like we're going down and drowning, I'm telling you the promises are yes and amen to me, and I want to say peace be still. And peace better be stilling. Are you with me? You can't be double-minded. The Bible says in James 1, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So imagine back to the tent. When he walked out and he saw the tent, when Abraham looked up in the sky and he saw the tent, he saw all the stars, and God says, that's how many promises are yours. But really all Abraham was wanting is this, man, if I can just have one kid. Can you imagine how, I mean, just think about that. Children are awesome, but one child, and you're looking at, he just wanted one child, and God says, oh, this is what I want to give you, as many as the stars in the sky. That's a big, vast number difference. That's why when God says he has more thoughts that are more precious towards you, you could have 100 bad thoughts about yourself, and God has more thoughts than the sand of the sea that's precious for you. Okay, just hold that thought and jump back. I want to just read this verse to you. Jump back into the book of Jeremiah 32. No, excuse me, 33. Verse 27, I believe. He says, the word of the Lord, verse 26, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, okay, so the word came to Jeremiah saying, this is God saying it. So what kind of an attitude does God have? This is what he says. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I mean, it's almost, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but when I read it, it reads to me like almost sarcasm. Right? Like, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, like, what's the matter with y'all? I'm the God of all flesh. I mean, are you kidding me? Is there anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for me? I don't always understand how things are going to work out. I don't have the ability to see down the time tube and know exactly how it's all going to be lined out. God's going to make it all happen. But one thing I do know is that I have full faith and assurance in my heart it's going to be good. Right? I mean, the world goes to pieces, everything crashes, everything goes down, we're eating dirt. And so this can't be God. Jeremiah's in prison while the city of Jerusalem is falling, and God says, look, pray for the peace of the city, for Babylon, not Jerusalem. He said, I'm taking care of Jerusalem. What you need to do is pray for the peace of Babylon, and you're going to go on there, and you're going to raise your families, you're going to raise your kids, and everything's going to be okay, and you're going to be there for 70 years. In other words, God was still going to take care of him. He's still going to be the God of all comfort. There was nothing going to be too hard for him. They were still going to go in there. They were still going to have God. They were still going to be blessed. They were still going to walk in. But he said, you're going to have to walk into that captivity. I don't like that. That's not the way I looked at it. I don't like that kind of stuff, right? All I'm saying is, if you keep your focus in that God is always with you and God is always going to be there no matter what, no matter where you're going to go, you're going to follow God. You're going to follow the God of all comfort. You're going to follow the God that there's no flesh. He's the God of all flesh and nothing's too hard for him. That you're going to walk in no matter what. You're going to go forward and you're going to be blessed. You're going to come out on top. You are the head and you are not the tail. You are above and you're not beneath. I've always thought about if I was on a plane, you know, and you know, you never know, you know, been faced in situations, and I've been faced in life with a lot of life-threatening situations, and you know, I think I know how I react, but if I was on a plane and they were going to blow it up and terrorists run it, I'd laugh at them and say, well, are you serious? You think you're going to hurt me? You're going to threaten me by killing me? I mean, my gosh, send me to heaven, fool. But you got to have you assured in your heart in that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got to believe God's for you. You got to believe God's going on. That you haven't been forsaken. You haven't been left. So many people in this world, both Christian and non-Christian, really believe that God is not for them. It's really funny. There's as many Christians as non-Christians. I mean, tornado comes through. It's an act of God. Somebody that's never served the Lord a day in their life. Somebody gets sick in the family. Why'd God do this to me? Never prayed, never served him, never even tried to know him, never read the Bible. Never looked to find out what the promises are. But yet they know to blame God. Right? You ever notice it's so funny? that, I mean, our nation even today is so scared they won't put up 10 commandments on a wall. Wow, 10 commandments, put them on the wall. Do you know how many things are on the walls of official buildings that you don't even read? I mean, we walk by signs all the time. I don't read everything in the building. Are y'all with me? Oh, but 10 commandments just scares the life out of everybody. 10 little commandments up there. I mean, it really amazes me how, I mean, you take the Bible, the most intimidating book there is, doesn't even have a flashy cover on it. People run and shriek from it. You know, it's funny. You just think about this. You burn a Quran, oh my gosh, you've stirred up everything in the world. You burn a Bible, I'll just go to Walmart and get another one. I don't want to kill anybody over it. But then you try to put that thing somewhere, put it in a hotel room, everybody throws a fit. Oh my God, it's in the drawer. I know it's in there. I can feel it. You think it's like got kryptonite in it. And it truly does. If someone reads it, it's the devils on the inside of them that just like Legion cried and screamed, ah! Right? But then nobody wants to take a notice of that. Nobody wants to really reason that into it and say, oh, okay, it's not really the Bible. It's just that I have a demon in me. yeah. Are y'all with me here now? He's a God of all flesh, and nothing's too hard for him. Okay. So go back to 1 Corinthians. I mean, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1. And let's look at this again. So he says here, for the Son of God, verse 19, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you and by us and by Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. Now he established us with you in Christ and has anointed us as God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God to witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth, not that I have dominion over your faith and fellow workers of your joy, but by faith you stand. But by faith you stand. Isn't it amazing that God, in order to give man the use of his free will, because he never wanted to violate anybody's free will, right? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, whenever you start hearing anything about the government wanting to, you know, put something on us, you know, we're going to have to buy health insurance, or we're going to have to do this, we're going to do that. You know, I don't like it. Don't like anybody tell me I have to do something, right? Isn't it amazing that it's built into us as human beings not to violate our free will? I was reading an article about, it was talking about, it was actually talking about concealed carry weapons, but I just started laughing at it because it said there's only two ways that you can get a person to do what you want them to do, either by persuasion, force. There's only two ways you can get somebody to do something, by persuasion or force, because you're not going to violate a person's free will. They're either going to have to be persuaded to give up and say, or yield themselves and say, okay, let's do that, or they're going to have to be forced into it. They're not going to like to do it, but that's the only way you can do it. And this whole article is about that if everybody had a gun, then force is taken out of the issue. So then the only way then to resolve any deal would be by persuasion. So then it would be a true free society where nobody could have anything forced upon them. everybody would have to have discussion, and there'd have to be only persuasion. Because we don't like our free will violated. God is not going to violate a person's free will. So he brought everything down to this simple thing called faith. He said, the only way I can make it equal for everybody is just give everybody everything, and then they can obtain it and walk in it, but they have to do it by faith in me. That way, nobody's free will is violated. Everybody can receive as much as they can receive, because it's all theirs by faith. Just want you to know, all the promises are yes and amen. Now think about it. Amen. What does amen mean? So be it, or let it be, right? Or so it is. So it's, the promise is yes, and then I'm going to see that it gets taken care of. And then what he's saying, it's yes and amen. He's saying it's going to happen and it's done. So it is. When you walk in faith in it, it's yours. But he said, let everybody stand by faith. So that way everybody gets the same amount. He didn't withhold anybody from anybody. He said, why don't you believe me? Story of the talents. 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. One God had 1 talent, went and hit it in the ground. I said, man, I was scared. I was scared to believe you. He said, man, you're a foolish person. You should at least put it in the bank. Got interest off of it. Right? Use the, what God has given. He says, every one of us has been given a measure of faith. So every one of us has been given a measure of faith. So therefore, we can activate the faith that's on the inside of us and increase that measure. Believe God for more. But you're not going to believe him for anything if you don't believe he's going to say yes. So I'm settled that issue tonight. All the promises of God are yes. And amen, he'll see it happens because he's the God of all flesh and nothing's too hard for him. Amen? So everybody say yes. Yes. Look at the person beside you and say yes. Amen. Well, glory. Well, ushers, help me. Let's take up our offering tonight. Reminds me of, how many of y'all ever seen the great movie, Jeremiah Johnson? Come on. Remember, he gets the girl. He says to the girl, she doesn't speak English. He says, Am I a great hunter? Yes. And she says, yes. It's all you need to know. Promises of God true. Yes. It's all you need to know. This Sunday, the 2nd, Kids Ablaze. Y'all having the, it's Thursday, ladies lunch tomorrow on Lakey, 9 o'clock in the morning. No? Lunch. Ladies lunch tomorrow. Talk to Laura. Y'all are going. Put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Give you praise. We just thank you for tonight. Thank you for your hand upon our finances. We thank you for, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen. So that means that you said everything that we put our hands to will prosper. So I declare it so, Lord. Amen. So let it be, Lord, that they prosper. They're in health. That, Lord, you're the God of all flesh and there ain't nothing too hard for you. So we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday, 2nd Sunday. Girls out tomorrow. Cookies tonight. Glory to God. Well, stand to your feet. Grab the person's hand beside you and say yes. Lord, we just give you praise tonight. I thank you that all the promises are yes and amen, Lord, and we just thank you for it. We thank you that as we go out there, Lord, we take note of that scripture. You said that you're the God of all comfort, and what you've comforted us in, Lord, we're going to comfort others in. So we just thank you tonight, Lord, that you're going to send laborers across our path, people across our path, Lord, to speak to tell them the good news of what you have done for us, Lord. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.